Let our hearts, let us say amen. Amen. We want to thank the choir once again for encouraging us through the ministers of music. First, giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To our pastor, Pastor Minor, and to all the ministers on the rosters, to our deacons, our trustees, and to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hopefully, with everything that's been done up to this point, the pump has been primed, and you're ready to worship the Lord in the spirit of the sermon. I'd like to draw your attention to the Numbers, the book of Numbers, the 9th chapter. And while you're getting there, turning there, we'll offer a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, the preparation has went forth. I stand now in your presence of your Holy Spirit, asking that you anoint these lips of clay, control this tongue, that I might declare your word in truth and in holiness. That it might fall upon the hearts and minds of the ones that are here what you have to say. Crown this vessel with everything that is needed that they might declare your word. That someone might say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Again, I'd like to draw your attention to the Old Testament book of Numbers. It's probably the first five books of the Bible, the 9th chapter. Before I give you the subject, I would like to read to you in your hearing verse 15 and a few of the following verses. This is coming from the NIV, New International Version of the Bible, the NIV version. It says in that 15th verse, on the day the tabernacle of the tent of the testimony was set up, the cloud covered it from evening till morning. The cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it was like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the clouds settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at the Lord's and his command, they encamped. As long as the clouds stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. Skipping down to verse 22. It says, whether the clouds stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or for 2 months or for a year, the Israelites would remain in the camp and not set out. When it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order and according with his commandments through Moses. May God bless the hearts and the minds of the reading and hearing of his word. I have to go back and say thank you, Pastor Minor, for this opportunity. As well so as to say thank you for Easter's sermon and for the sermon that followed that particular week. If you were here and heard Pastor Minor as he preached from the word of God, he did two things for me and hopefully for you. He offered encouragement to those that believed, and he offered hope to those that did not know. He laid the foundation of what we believe and why we believe it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the following week, he came back and he framed up everything that needed to be framed up. He framed up the house and set upon the foundation what needs to be done. Think of this from this particular state of mindset. Whenever we go to buy a new house or purchase a new house, one of the biggest excitement that we have is how are we going to arrange it?
That's right.
What are we going to put in it?
Amen.
What are we going to do when we get there?
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to do all the things that we're going to do? Mm-hmm. And from that, are we going to take a worldly song that was penned by Dionne Warwick and Luther Vandross and hopefully paint a picture for you? But before we do that with the song, for a title and for a theme, if you allow me to use this as a theme, or this is what we want to use, fill this house, Lord.
Amen.
Fill this house, Lord.
Come on, sir.
Fill this house. Dionne Warwick recorded this song in 1964, and then Luther recorded it again in 1989. And it says, a house is not a home. The lyrics state this: a chair is still a chair, even when there is no one sitting there. But a chair is not a house, and a house is not a home. Then he goes on to say, a room is still a room, even when there is nothing there but gloom. But a room is not a house, and a house is not a home. When the two of us are far apart, and the one of us has a broken heart. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, as Luther penned that song, and as Dionne Warwick said that song, and as we look at the title of what we tried to say to you, a house is not a home. A fill this house, Lord. A Christian is not a Christian when the glory of the Lord is not living there. What that is the Shekinah glory. The visible manifestation of the presence of God. A Christian is not a Christian if the Lord is not living there. Just like Luther said, a house is not a home if no one's living there. Numbers presents the account of 38 years of Israel wandering in the desert, following the establishment of the covenant at Mount Sinai. Numbers represent the story of Israel's journey from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab at the borders of Canaan.
Yes, sir.
The book of Numbers tells us of the murmuring and the rebellion of God's people and their subsequent judgment.
Yeah.
I want to show you the progression of God as he constructed the tabernacle, first a tent, first then a temple, and then with you and I.
That's right. That's right. Come on, come on, come on, sir. Yes, sir.
As we look back to that first chapter, the Israelites had been left Egypt. It had been 2 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And now the Lord says, I need you to encamp here. I need to talk to you for a minute.
That's right.
I need to give you some instruction. I need you to set up the tabernacle.
Yes.
I'm going to give Moses the design, and he's going to carry it out. And then I'm going to have Aaron become the high priest. And then I'm going to invite the Levites to become part of the priesthood. That everybody might do what they need to do and follow the instruction. But as we look back at chapter 7 of Numbers, something had to take place.
Yes, sir.
There was an offering of a dedication of the tabernacle.
Yes, well,
the altar was dedicated. The furnishing was dedicated. The utensils were dedicated for the anointing of the consecrated of use within the tabernacle for God's purpose.
All right.
What utensil are you today?
Come on, sir.
What utensil are you today? How do you fit in the house of God? What furnishing are you? And have you been set apart? Can I take my time? The tabernacle played a large part in the life of Israel.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
What part did the church play in your life? Mm-hmm. It was the focal point of Israel's natural life for the time God brought them out of the land of Egypt under Moses.
Yes, sir.
Is the church just a revolving door for you? You go in, you go out, and nothing sticks, nothing helps, and nothing works. I would like you to consider 3 points.
Thank you, Lord.
What part does the church play in the life, your life today?
Think about it.
Think about it. Think about it. Is it blocking? Is it blocking the presence of God in your life today? What's blocking it? What's blocking the presence of the Lord in your life today? What's hindering God from really being able to connect with you and me? What's blocking it? Who or what guides your life today? Is it Jesus or is it self? We heard Sister Man's testimony. It got brought back to her attention what her mother told her. What gets brought back to your attention this morning? Keeping in mind now, Aaron, being the high priest, he was the only one allowed to go into the holiest of holies. He had to put on the priestly garment to go into the holy of holies. Israel, or the people encamped around that, had to be away, had a distance that they could come to the inside the tabernacle. If they came too close, they would be killed. How close do you need to get to God? How close do you need to be to him to know that he's real? Now, they had a reason or something that hindered them from the presence of God, but Jesus Christ fixed that for us.
That's right. Yes, he did.
The veil was there for them. And if you were not the high priest, you could not go into the Holy of the Holy. The veil separated. It kept you and I out. But they could go in. But Jesus fixed that for you and I. Again, going back to what Sister Man said. She couldn't call on Reverend Mike. She couldn't call on no other preacher. She had to do it for herself. Because he made access for her to go in and call his name for herself. And because she was able to go in and call his name, she's sitting right there today.
Glory to your name, God.
Back in that time, the priest, high priest, went in once a year annually.
That's right.
For the sins of the nation.
That's right.
And he would go in, he would make atonement. Mm-hmm. Jesus already made the atonement for you and I. It's all finished. When he declared it finished, it was finished.
Yes.
We don't need him. There don't need to be no bullocks or rams or pigeon doves or anything else sacrificed anymore. I and you have full access to the mercy seat of God.
Yes.
Right now. You don't have to wait.
Yes.
I can call on his name right now.
Yes.
Right now, God. Right now. That pretty much completes the tenth part of this. But the progression of God has to keep going through this process. Because man always mess up. Always falls short. And always does what he don't need to do. Always. So we like to make excuses about why we can and why we can't. Like to make excuses.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So after the tent was done, David, in his heart, decided something. David was grieved because he looked out in Jerusalem and saw the tent of the tabernacle sitting out in the open as he stayed in the house of cedar. And it grieved into his heart as he looked out and saw the position of where the tent of the tabernacle or the presence of the Lord was. So he decided within himself, I will make a house for God. God didn't have asked him to do that. He didn't need him to do that. It wasn't a bad thing that David did that. But we're looking at the progression of God. Because he needs to get to the point where he needs to write his word on the tablets of our heart.
That's right. That's it.
That we might know the difference between right and wrong. That there would be not an excuse to be made about why the high priest couldn't pray for me.
That's right.
Or couldn't do what he needed to do for me. So David decided to go and build a temple. But the Lord said, whoa, 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 David, whoa, whoa. You got good intention.
Yes, sir.
But there's one problem. You're a man of war.
Yes, sir.
You got blood on your hand.
Yes.
And because you got blood on your hand, you can't do this thing.
Yes.
You ain't qualified. Yes, sir. You got qualified.
Yes.
Because you got blood on your hand, David. Do you got blood on your hand today?
Oh, come on.
Who have you killed lately?
Oh, man, my God.
You might not have killed them physical, but you might have killed somebody's character.
Come on, sir. Yeah. Say that.
You said something against them and you didn't need to. You spoke ill of somebody because we wanted to.
Come on, sir.
Because they didn't measure up. They didn't measure up to my standard. Not God's standard, my standard. I don't know about anybody else, but it's hot here to me. So God said, oh, David, okay, but since you got blood in your hand, you a man of war. You can't do it. So God gave the privilege of building the temple to David's son, Solomon, which was a man of peace. Solomon built this magnificent temple that was beyond man's imagination. He built it. It was beautiful. It was glorious. The only thing that outshined what Solomon did was the presence of the Lord inside that temple.
That's right.
That was the only thing that overshadowed what Solomon had did was the presence of the Lord in that particular holy place. God's presence remained there for more than 350 years until the day of Ezekiel the prophet. And you know why, once again.
That's right.
Man.
Yes,
doing what he do best.
Mm-hmm.
Making a mess of things. Making a mockery of things. Look at what just happened this past week, the 8th. Man trying to do something. He's trying to go up into space or with its Kern or whatever. He's this big magnet. He's trying to get dark matter. He wants to see what make God's tick. You don't need to know what make God's tick. You just need to know him. That's all. That, if you know that, you know what makes him tick. You don't need to know all that rest of that stuff.
There's no him.
Just know him. That's all you need to know. Just know him.
Good word.
And because of that, because of man's action, once again, the glory of the Lord left the temple and departed. Not until 586 BC. Even with that, the presence of the Lord wasn't there. The temple became the ruin because of the Babylonian army destroyed it. Took it down. Took it apart. Destroyed it. The temple was, they tried to rebuild it again. King Zerubbabel tried to do it again. King Herod tried to do it again. But God, that what they did could not even compare to the splendor of what Solomon did. But even then, God said, it's a foul place. It's not good for my presence to be. What I'm trying to say, God's not going to be in the presence of sin, y'all. He's not going to sit. He's not going to be in the presence of sin. No way, no shape, no how, no way, no how. The New Testament tells us that he swept the temple. He swept it clean. And if you don't wash yourself, seven other spirits will come in and filter it up all over again. We got to guard ourselves. You got to guard yourself about what you're involved with, what you're listening to, who you taking part, what you're taking part in. Because if you don't, the temple will be defiled once again. The one thing that was missing, and I hope it's not missing within your life today, the Shekinah glory of God. The manifestation of God present in your life.
Yes, sir.
Can't you hear the Spirit sometimes whispering in your ear? Don't do that.
Yes.
Don't go that way.
Yes.
That's not the right thing for you to do.
Yes.
That's not the right place for you to be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can you hear Paul as he penned these words to the Galatian Christian? From Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 from the EIV. Version of the Bible, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons.
Thank you. Thank you.
Somebody heard John say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. This is coming from the Amplified version of the Bible. And the Word was became flesh in that 14th verse and lived among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Going back to that song that Luther Vandross penned, a song in 1989, A House is Not a Home. In the last part of the lyrics, he stated some things. It says, now and then I call your name, and suddenly your face appeared. Have you ever called on this name and you saw the face of the Lord appear to you? And he came and saw about you? Sister Man can testify to that today. He'll come and see about you. I can testify to that. He'll come and see about you. Reverend Bell testifies about you. He'll come and see about you. Can you testify that he'll come and see about you this morning? Luther goes on to say, I'm not meant to live alone. Turn this house into a home. He said, I climb the stairs and turn the key. And oh, please be there. That's why Paul said this in this 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in the spirit, which is our God. God wants to take residence in whoever out there this morning that don't know him and the free pardon of their sin. He wants you to know that I'm here for you. And he can make his house his home today.
Yeah.
All you have to do is believe the gospel message.
Yes, sir.
And he will take a dwelling place within you today. And the Holy Spirit will come and live within your heart today. And that's what he was trying to, he was telling them in his ninth chapter of Numbers. One day, the tabernacle of the tent was set up. And it can be set up today for you. All you have to do is accept the gospel message. That Jesus Christ came into the world. That he was born of a virgin. That he tabernacled some 33 years here on this earth. And then he dwelled on this earth. And then one day he took up a Roman cross. He went to a hill called Calvary. He allowed him to put a crown of thorns on his head. And he put ribbons in his feet and ribbons in his hand. And he hung on the cross for you and I. And he from the sixth to the ninth hour. And he allowed him to pierce him inside. And he hung the head, his head in the lock of his shoulder. And he gave him the ghost. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. But early Sunday morning, he got up that he might take a residence with you and I today. All you have to do is accept it today. And he will make this house a home. He will fill your house today if you accept him as your Savior.
Amen. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. Amen. Amen. If you just living in a house, you want it to be a home, you can have that today. You see, Jesus is the only one that can fill the house. We try to fill the house with so many different things. Houses, clothes, nice bags and shoes. But Christ is the only one that can fill the house. You have an opportunity this morning to let Jesus be your home decorator. He desires to fill your house. Is your storage empty? Are you available? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, we bless the Lord for his word. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for the man of God who preached his word. And y'all was sitting there like y'all didn't know the words to that song. Y'all ain't been saved all your life. I don't know, it's still going in my head. A house is not a home. But you understand the gist of it. That all of us have been living in condemned houses. And if you don't have Christ living inside of your house, it's condemned. And it's headed for destruction because everything that's condemned will soon be destroyed. But we have that opportunity now that Christ, if you don't know Christ in the free pardon of your sin, if you don't know that Jesus came to die for your very soul, that he came to give his life for your life, there was a great exchangement that was made at Calvary for your sins. And here's the good news about it is that it's always available to you. God does not give it and take it back. The Bible said that he died once. That's all he had to do is die one time. And it took care of everyone's sin. If you would just believe, confess and believe. You may not come down here to give your life to Christ. You may be still sitting in that seat. But I want you to take that with you. Because understand, you can be saved sitting on your living room couch. You can be saved sitting in your kitchen. It takes a simple belief with your heart that Jesus paid your sin debt, that he took care of everything. That there's nothing that you could contribute to this. He's the only one that can do it. Amen. Let me get out of here. But I think you need to understand that. You can be saved. Even though if you didn't come, you can be saved today. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Amen. Let's bless this man of God. Put your hands together first with a hand clap of praise. In the And then with those same hands, I want you to reach into your pocket and come out, stand, get your gift ready, prepare your gift. If you would, please stand to your feet. We're going to ask that you come around and you bless this man of God who has blessed us tremendously. And we thank God for him and thank God for the ministry that which you've given him. We pray, Heavenly Father, that he will continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's be a blessing to him.
What a word. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for this preacher, man, that brought a word. What a word. We just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I also want to announce that Deacon Dave Thomas is back in the hospital. So I want to ask that you continue to pray for him. I don't know. They don't know really what's going on with him. It seems as though he maybe have a reaction to one of the vaccines that he took, the booster shots. But we don't know yet. So the doctors are still evaluating. He's having difficulty with his breathing. He can't stand or walk long before he's out of breath. So we're going to go and see about him this evening to see how he's doing. But we're going to ask that you continue to pray for him. Add him to the prayer list as well. I know he was out here with us last week. But this week, the devil, let me tell you, that's how the devil is. You know, two of the people who were blessed us last week, the devil has tried to take them out this week. So continue to pray. God's spirit will continue to move with them. Amen? All right. Well, listen, if all hearts are satisfied, I'm asking that Reverend Bennett will come back and give us our benediction.
Let us stand. May God keep you and bless you. Hopefully something was said that was beneficial to your spirit. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, help us to understand that houses are temporary. But to build our hope on nothing else but you. No matter how much we gain in this world, Lord, it's only temporary. But to spend eternity with you would be the best thing that could ever happen to us. So, Lord, we ask you to fill these houses. Fill these houses with your love, Lord. Fill these houses with your compassion. Fill these houses with your strength. And fill these houses with your courage. That we might stand when no one else wants to stand. That we might do the things that are pleasing in your eyesight. Then, Lord, when we've done all our hearts and hands can do, we want to thank you for that place that you promised to each and every one of us that trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. That we might be forever with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let every heart say amen, amen, and amen.
All right, so...